Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. We are coming to one of the most hated passages of Scripture in your Bible tonight. It has been thrown around, kicked about, cursed, and probably more so discussed in preachers' lounges and so on than any other verse in the Bible. And there's no reason for that. The Scriptures have always been plain. And if we fail to understand that, listen, God never writes anything to confuse us. Amen. Got a little bark in here, brother. And we, as believers, have a responsibility to read and believe.
Yes, sir.
Read and believe what the text says.
Amen.
Now, when John comes to this passage tonight, he does so after assuring us as believers that God has given us eternal life. We ought to know that by now, shouldn't we?
Amen.
If we read John's gospel, if we read this epistle, then surely we ought to have this together. So I'm in 1 John chapter 5, and we move tonight to this most favorite of multitudes of people's text, verse number 16. We've learned now that God hears us. We've learned that we know that we are the children of God. We've learned that we're to love God and the brethren. And now he gives us a great stern warning. Verse number 16. If a man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Can you understand why people get so perturbed when this verse is read?
Yes, sir.
I think it entirely outside the realm of good Bible preaching and good Bible study to pass by a verse like this and just act like it's not in the Bible.
Amen.
Pick up commentary after commentary, and guess what you're going to find? Nothing on this verse. They skip over it entirely. But we're going to get something on it.
Amen.
Thank you and be seated. When John approaches this subject, he does so recognizing that there are some things that God just will not tolerate. Can I say that again?
Yeah.
There are some things that God will not tolerate in his children. Now, my dad was a great disciplinarian. When it came time to give us a whipping, he didn't back down from it. He did it. Gary talked him out of a few. And he talked him into giving me a few more.
Amen.
And I still didn't get enough. Discipline is essential.
Amen.
It's essential in the home. The reason America is in the shape tonight she's in is because the home has forgotten to discipline.
Yes, sir.
And we've put idiots on the street because we've turned them loose into colleges across this country that are teaching them to despise the Constitution and despise the nation that they were reared in and despise their family and tell them that mom and daddy are dopes. They don't know what they're talking about. And we've set a group of people loose on our streets that have the sense to get home by themselves at night, but they're going to run our country. It's all because we forgot to discipline.
Amen.
Dr. Spook, remember him?
Yes.
Other folks call him Spock. I call him Spook. Dr. Spook, some years ago, wrote a book. And in that book, he said that discipline was not essential in the home. This book says discipline is essential in the home. And it's also essential in the church. God will discipline His children.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible tells us plainly, if we were without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons.
Amen.
If you are not chastened of the Lord, both for our benefit and for our correction. Now remember this. God chastens us for our benefit and for our correction.
Amen.
God chastens us when we don't necessarily do anything wrong, but He does it for our benefit.
Yes.
By the way, every time God chastens it, it's for our benefit.
Amen.
But it's also for correction.
Yes.
So we do fail.
Amen.
If we read the next verse in this chapter, we're going to find that all sin, every mishap along the way, is sin against God.
Amen.
We'll get to that in another time. So we're dealing tonight with this thing called the sin unto death. I'm first of all going to tell you what it's not. And then by the grace of God, we'll get to the point of telling you what it is. It'll take some weeks for us to move through this verse. But hopefully you'll stay with us and learn what we need to learn from this particular verse. It's not murder or some other heinous crime that people commit. Let me prove to you that it's not murder. Moses is a murderer. Is that right? David was a murderer. Paul the Apostle was a murderer. All these men were murderers and many others, but they were forgiven. So God forgives murder. How about that? I talked in his jail cell, prison cell actually, with one of the most notorious murderers in the state of Florida when we were down there. And he looked me straight in the eyes and said, Dr. Montgomery, I am saved. Now, I can't say whether or not he was, but he said he was.
Amen.
And it wouldn't surprise me to find Mr. Bundy when I get to glory.
Amen.
You say, that can't happen. Yes, it can happen.
Amen.
God forgives sin, does He not?
Yes.
Absolutely. If God forgave Moses, He can forgive Bundy.
Amen.
Ted Bundy is no more a murderer than Moses was.
Right.
And no more a murderer than most church members are.
Amen.
If you hate your brother, hello. Uh-huh. Talking to you now, if you hate your brother, you're guilty of murder.
Amen.
What the book says.
Yes.
So it's not murder. Thank God He forgives the murderer. So we can lay that aside. It's not some heinous thing that we can come up with. And it's not apostasy. Let me show you why it's not apostasy. If you see your brother, what did I say? What did the text say? If you see your brother, a brother is what? A saint. One who has been born again. It literally means womb fellows. Fellows from the same womb. Brothers in Christ. So the brothers in Christ then, when we see them sin a sin, apostasy is something that an unbeliever commits. Now, I've heard folks say that a saint can apostatize. That's not so. That is absolutely not so. Apostasy is an act of an unbeliever. He may act like a believer. And of course, that's where the word comes from. He acts like a believer. And then when some trial or something comes to try his faith, he falls by the wayside.
Amen.
And denies the faith. That is an apostate. So it's not a murderer or some heinous crime-filled life otherwise. And it's not apostasy. And it's not sin against the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Amen.
Let me help you right here, right now. When Jesus told that group of Pharisees that they were guilty of sin against the Holy Spirit, and that would not be forgiven them. Did you hear that?
Amen.
Blaspheme God, but if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven.
Amen.
Now what in the world, and who in the world can commit this sin? Who's he talking to? He's talking to a group of religionists who deny that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
They've had every witness. They've seen the miracles. Many of them ate the bread that he blessed and the fishes that he blessed. Are you listening to me? They've seen what he did with his hand. They've saw the miracles, and yet they denied that he was the Son of God. That is sin against the Holy Ghost. They're unbelievers. A believer cannot commit the sin against the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I wonder how many people have come to me down through the years and said, "Brother Larry, I feel like I have committed the sin against the Holy Ghost." I said, "No, you haven't." How, why could I tell them that? Because if they're convicted about it, if they think they've done it, then it's impossible for them to have done it.
Amen.
Because they're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a believer in Christ, you cannot commit this sin.
Amen.
Now we come to one that can be committed by believers. I want you to open your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to give you some examples tonight of this being so. When you get there, well, it's on the screen. Just look at the screen. "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them." You need to listen to what I'm going to say in the next 15 minutes. "That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose." Go on with me. "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, and they bare children of them." Are you listening to the text? The sons of God and the daughters of men had sexual intercourse, and children were born from that union. "The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown." Now we find a man by the name of Noah coming on the scene. "And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the text said that Noah was found to be a perfect man in his generation."
Amen.
Now let me tell you what the word perfect means in that context. The Nethians, who were those giants and these offsprings of angelic creatures that have been cast out of heaven, and daughters of men. Now, what I'm talking about is terrestrial marriages, interterrestrial marriages, where angels that had fallen, God had cast them out of heaven, and they became fathers to the children whose mothers were the offsprings of mankind. Now, from that union comes giants, comes men with minds that were like computers in our day and time. Demonic influenced men. Now, don't you think the devil is a fool? And these people did some things. If you look back through the annals of history, Stonehenge, for instance, in England, are all of you aware of that phenomena? Do you know those that have studied that place say that it was put together beginning at least 2,500 years prior to the Lord Jesus Christ? Where does that put this? Right here.
Amen.
Right here where this text is written. Right here where Noah comes on the scene. Those stones, some of them, most of them, weigh better than 25 tons. That's 50,000 pounds. They're set in a circle. And on top of those that are set up, which set up about 13 feet, and on top of those are lintels all the way around. It's a circle with those lintels on top. Stones, if you will. And the scientists tell us that those stones came from whales. Now, let me ask you something. How on earth is that possible with a natural man?
Amen.
It had to be someone that had supernatural strength to do that. Giants, men of renown, people that were able to figure out these things. And these wonders of the world, so to speak, they're not wonders when you read the Word of God. These things were put together by men with supernatural intelligence and supernatural strength. How in the world are they going to lift 25 tons, 50,000 pounds, and set those stones up in a perfect circle and then put the lintels across the top of them?
Amen.
How's a man going to do that? How is 100 men going to do that?
Amen.
They didn't have the things we have. They didn't have even ropes, so to speak, that we have. Sure didn't have cables. Are you still here?
Amen.
Now, that's not all there is to it. Let's go a little step farther. Noah built an ark the size of a football field. Do you know how Noah built an ark the size of a football field? Giants. Men of renown. Hello.
Amen.
When God said Noah was perfect in his generation, that word perfect means that he was not, did not have that intermingled blood in him. His pedigree was pure. Back to Adam. One of the few, by the way. The world in that day and time had been around for nearly 2,000 years. And men multiplied. And what happens is so often we get to thinking, well, there was nobody on the earth but Adam and a few people. Adam's already dead, thank you. But his offsprings, let me ask you this. How long does it take a multitude of people to come along when God multiplies the conceptions?
Yes.
Is that what the book says?
Yes.
The book said it. Yes, sir. God multiplied their conceptions and people lived to be 1,000 years old, right at it. Are you still here? And they're bearing children all that time? There were multiplied millions of people on the earth in Noah's day. And they had spread so far from the air that Noah was in to where in England they were building such things. You know what that mess is for? Devil worship.
Amen.
And that's not the only one. There were several of them. This place where Stonehenge is covers 6,500 acres. Now you could build a pretty good Sunday school class in that amount.
Amen.
6,500 acres. And there are other smaller things there, all built to worship the devil. Some of these phenomena, as far as the Egyptian pyramids are concerned. Where do you think that came from? How do you think they moved that? How do you think those stones got in there? They didn't put them on a trailer and haul them down there with somebody's yuke. Didn't happen that way, darling.
Amen.
Men of renown, giants, supernatural strength, supernatural knowledge. Are you hearing me? Now we have the background. A sin unto death that brought the flood was this interterrestrial marriages. And playing with God.
Amen.
There's a sin unto death.
Amen.
Is there such a thing as unlawful marriages in the New Testament? Not that anybody will tell you about in our day and time, but there is.
Amen.
Let me just share something with you right quick. When a young man or young woman marry, the first thing we should consider is whether or not they know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If they don't, and you marry, you're marrying outside the will of God.
Amen.
And it's no worse in Noah's day than it is today.
Amen.
That's easy to figure out, isn't it? Yes. So in Noah's day, God not only killed a few, but God destroyed millions upon top of millions because of this interterrestrial marriages. And because of the corruption of the bloodline. Now let me share something else with you. You won't get this anywhere but in the seminary classroom in most cases. So I'm giving you something straight from the seminary classroom that I taught in seminary years ago. Noah was perfect.
Amen.
But somewhere on that ark, there was somebody that had been polluted with these demonic spirits. Demonic people. Don't take long to figure out who it was. Had to be Ham's wife. Because Ham's wife, are the descendants of Ham, are those who began to build the Tower of Babel. And it's Ham's descendants that David fights with in the giants. You still with me?
Amen.
Got it together? By the way, now listen carefully. Those genes are still running around somewhere.
Amen.
They show up from time to time. You see people that are geniuses that deny God.
Amen.
And anything that is of God. You see huge men and huge women outside the realm of the natural entirely. Those genes are still running around.
Amen.
They'll be here when Jesus comes.
Amen.
That demonic spirit will still be muchly alive when our Lord comes.
Amen.
For His church. But God destroyed millions because of that sin. There's one sin unto death.
Amen.
In Joshua chapter number 7. My brother mentioned that a while back. In Joshua chapter 7, there's a man by the name of Achan. And he did do some Achan. You did catch that. Mr. Achan is guilty of coveting the things of God.
Amen.
Now this first crowd is corrupting the way of God. Now here's a boy that is coveting the things devoted to God. The children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, some of the children of Israel died in the attack on Ai. And they came back, and Joshua began to cry to the Lord. And if you read further, you're going to find that God said to Joshua, "Get up!" Can't you hear him say that?
Amen.
Joshua's on his face before God praying, and God said, "Get up." There's a time to pray, and there's a time to act. God said, "Get up! Get up! Israel has sinned." And God told him what to do. He said, "Let them pass by families, by tribe, by families, and I'll show you who it is."
Amen.
And Achan was chosen. Now Achan coveted things that were devoted to God. It's a very simple thing. He took things that didn't belong to him. They belonged to God. So he chose to take them and hide them away. And he was going to use them for his own benefit.
Amen.
Later. What happened to Achan? He was stoned to death. That's why I said a few moments ago, Achan was Achan.
Amen.
Because he was stoned to death. What did he do? He committed the sin unto death. He coveted things that were devoted to God and took them for himself. Did you hear what I said? That might be a good thing for all of us to take a good look at.
Amen.
Be careful about the things of God.
Amen.
The things of God are not natural things. They are devoted things. They belong to Him. They don't belong to us.
Amen.
Treat them like they belong to God.
Amen.
Where are we time-wise? I don't want to keep you too long tonight. Let me give you one more before we go. In the book of Numbers, chapter number 16, there are three men that fall by the wayside. Their names are Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Now these men confront the man of God. But they confront him in the wrong way. What they're saying is, "Hey, you take too much upon yourself. I had a dear preacher boy call me the other day. I've been with him in meetings down through the years, with his dad in meetings when he was alive. And he said, "Brother Larry," he said, "should the pastor know how much is in the treasure?" I said, "What do you mean, should the pastor know?"
Amen.
"Absolutely the pastor ought to know."
Amen.
He said, "Well, the treasure doesn't want me to know how much is in the bank." I said, "I'll tell you what I'd do."
Amen.
"I'd fire the treasure."
Amen.
He said, "Well, he's got it fixed to where nobody but him can sign checks and nobody but him can see how much is in there." I said, "You go to the bank.
Amen.
You fix it. You're the pastor of the church."
Amen.
"The pastor of the church needs to know everything that's going on in the church."
Amen.
"Everything.
Amen.
If it has anything to do with the church, he needs to know about it because he is to take the oversight."
Yes.
Did you get that? He is the commander in chief. He takes his orders from the Lord and nobody else. Not the deacon board, the Sunday school teachers, or anyone else. He takes his orders from God.
Amen.
Here is a vivid example of what I'm telling you. Moses was called of God. Is that right?
Yes.
Can all of us agree with that?
Yes.
Moses is called of God. Chosen of God to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. He leads them out of bondage. My, what miracles they saw. My, what joy they experienced after the Red Sea. And then how they grumbled and complained because they didn't have water. And God gave them water. And how they grumbled and complained because they didn't have meat. They got tired of the manna. Hey, listen, don't ever get tired of the manna.
Amen.
Don't ever get tired of the Word of God. Manna is a type of the Word of God. And God sent the quails to them, and they ate the quails, and that meat, so high protein, God caused them to get sick, and the Word of God said they were so sick that they threw it up through their nostrils.
Amen.
You ever been that sick?
Yes, sir.
I made some of you sick right there, didn't I? That's pretty tough, isn't it?
Amen.
See, you try to get vengeance against God, if you will.
Amen.
And let's see how it happens.
Amen.
Multitudes of them died.
Amen.
Why? Because they complained against God. But these three men specifically came to Moses and said, "You take too much upon you. We're all the children of God."
Amen.
Is that what they said? "We're all the children of God. Who do you think you are?"
Amen.
Moses said, "I tell you what we'll do. We'll let God choose."
Amen.
And he took Aaron's rod and the rod of those men that were coming against him and laid it up before the Lord overnight. And overnight, you need to read this, overnight, Aaron's rod budded and bore fruit. Are you listening?
Amen.
And the rest of them just laid there like a dead stick. And the next day, Moses brought the rods out and said, "All right, who belongs to this and who belongs to this and who belongs to this?" And Aaron's rod had budded and bore fruit. God chose Aaron and Moses to be the leaders. Now, watch it. That crowd still weren't satisfied.
Amen.
And Moses drew a line. And he said, "All right, all you that are on God's side, move over here because that crowd's going to hell alive."
Amen.
If you want the safety of the mercy of God, you better come to this side of the line. Are you listening?
Amen.
You better come to this side of the line. And those that believe God came to Moses' side of the line, the other crowd was on the other side, and God caused the earth to open up, and they went into hell alive.
Amen.
Now, what was their sin? Confronting the man of God maliciously. Might be a bad thing to do. Might be a bad thing to do. Now we're started. That's as far as we've gotten. We're started.
Amen.
We'll be back to this. Let's stand together. Just let you think on these things.